Gets it to Jokic above the break. Three, nothing there. And back for the board is Gui Santos, playing with five fouls. Takes it across the timeline. Starts with a pass to Pajemski. Takes it early. Three, knocked it down. Golden State leads by a 112-109 margin. Pajemski with great confidence. How about that?
Dub Nation, this is Brandon Pajemski. You're listening to Willer and Dibs on 95.7 The Game, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.
Yeah? Above the break.
We're going to have to figure some things out, man.
About what?
The fan base. We're going to collectively have to figure some things out.
It's not that hard.
But it is. I know what you're about to say, and for a lot of people, it is.
It's really not that hard.
But for a lot of people, it is.
Like, he was drafted here. When he plays well, you applaud him. And when he plays poorly, you can be critical. But
that's fine, but that's not what's happening.
Well, what's happening is...
He was drafted here. He ended up catching a stray in a sort of triangle that had nothing to do with him. And... he's kind of an awkward player, so when he plays poorly, he gets criticized, and when he plays well, it gets ignored as sort of quirky and off that day. That's what I see.
I get it. I mean, quirky and off, he was 6-for-6 in the fourth quarter, and you beat Denver at home. Yep. And they had Jokic, and you didn't have Steph, and they had Murray, and you didn't have Jimmy, and you didn't have Kristaps, and you didn't have Draymond. You had basically... a bunch of pups, second-round picks, and a guy who plays lacrosse. And you beat Denver. So if you're going to go ahead and, like, file that away and not put, like, respect on that or give him flowers, then I can't help you.
Then you can't help a lot of people.
I'm sure, yeah.
You know, because that happened yesterday. And our engagement here is just filled with pod sucks, and I wouldn't re-sign him and... all of that. That's fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? But that's what I mean. Like that, I think, because I don't think the Warriors see it that way. So there's going to need to be some sort of like pods rehab thing over the next few years.
I mean,
it's just going to have to be some pods rehab.
Some people will never go to rehab. They'll say no. And that's just, I mean, the reality of it. And it's the same thing with Kuminga. And now Kuminga is gone. And so we at least will be able to get some sort of closure of, is Kuminga good? Did Steve Kerr like wet blanket him or did they blow the pick? So at least now, now that he's gone, he gets to go out there and show us. If he's good and he's good and they win, then he can go double middle fingers to the organization and all of the Kuminga stands can say, see, Steve Kerr hates young people. And then the other people, like our friend Brian in Palo Alto, who thinks Kuminga's not very good, if he goes out and has a Jordan Poolian career elsewhere, you could look at it and go, yeah, it was a blown pick and stuff. And
sure.
You realize that it wasn't Kerr who blew it. So,
Boxer and Gerson work injury attorneys text line. Someone from the 510 has thrown a couple at us. Appreciate you listening. Kayson Wallace is really good. Way better than Pods or Moody. So here's my point. And I know that this is just numbers, and that doesn't tell the entire story.
Numbers are numbers.
Numbers are numbers.
And numbers are numbers.
If you watch a lot of Thunder basketball and you feel very strongly about this, then I'm wide open. I'm listening to you. But if I do look at Kayson Wallace, he's really good. See, my guess is, actually, no, he plays for a really good team. So you think he's way better. But Kayson Wallace... field goal percentage, Moody's better. Three-point field goal percentage, Moody's better. Free throw percentage, Moody's better. Rebounds per game. Hang on, let me check really quick. Even. Let's see. Points per game, Moody's better. Again, everything is a matter of perspective, and that's literally my only point today. I'm not here at the airport like a chauffeur with pods and Moody signs trying to get you to come talk to me. I'm just telling you that I think that they're fine. They're not great. They're fine. Like his very next text is, Pods doesn't suck. He's just meh. Great. Let's all agree on that. He's meh. And every team has meh, even the really, really good ones. The Celtics came in last week. They're very good. They're very well coached. They move the ball like crazy. You can name three or four players. And then there's like people named Luke or whatever who are over there in the corner shooting threes. Meh. But it works. It works. The Warrior Championship teams had meh. They had some meh in there. Like, that's okay.
Ian Clark, you know.
You just need to know your role and do it well. I think Moody has arrived at that. And I think Pods just needs some more tightening in terms of the knowing the role part. But if he can get to that, I think he can do the things that need to be done.
And he hasn't really had a great opportunity to be that because, you know, you've had Steph in, Steph out, then Jimmy came and Kuminga was out and all the rest of it. So it's easier to be a role player like Kayson Wallace when you've got Chet and Shea and it's like, all right, go out there and, you know, give us 23 minutes and give us 7 points and 4 rebounds and a couple of steals and just go do that. And I think that Pods, to defend him a little bit, has been, you know, on again, off again, because he's had so many different times where he's had to step up and do more and then step back and do less and all the rest of it.
No doubt. No doubt. And Wallace is a plus defensive player. So is Moody, though. Moody, like, is Wallace better on defense? Maybe a touch. But again, all I'm saying is when you go, oh, Wallace is way better than Moody. I think that's a perspective that's based on, no, the Thunder are way better than the Warriors. And their players get jerked around less because they know exactly, like they're in that moment. They're in their championship moment and they all put their uniform on and know exactly what's supposed to happen that night.
And it, all of it is so much context. And you think about like Sam Darnold or Brock Purdy. Like Sam Darnold, he is a champ. He's a Super Bowl champ and they ask him to do a lot less than the Niners want Brock Purdy to do. And so if Brock is here, he's great. If Brock goes to Carolina, he's probably not going to be as good. And so, you know, Kayson in OKC, we're awesome. Be our eighth man. Play that role. Do your thing. And we'll win. And they did. And here, Moses, we need you to start because we're not as good as OKC. And, you know, we'd love you to be our seventh or eighth man, but we need you to be a starter because we're not as good.
They've got total buy-in.
Right.
And the former Warriors, when they were winning championships, had total buy-in. And then I could actually make a big, we could do a big documentary about how things started to get wobbly when they stopped having buy-in. In other words, Jordan Poole wants more.
Yep.
Right? The establishment wants less.
Klay wants more.
That turns into a fight. And then here come the Kamingas and the Podses and the others of the world. They want more, but the team wants them to do this over here. They buck a little bit, and this is what you get. And then you get old guys getting hurt, and then guys really start getting jerked around because they're like, no, we don't want you to score 25. No, but do it tonight. Not tomorrow,
right.
Unless actually they're not ready, then we do want it, but then not the day after that. Like, and that's what you get. You get this.
And think about how hard that is. Like, if you and I have our show, and you know, you came to me every day before the show, and you're like, you know what? I need you to tell a bunch of stories about how many times you got fired. And then the next day...
You could do that again. I mean, it was pretty fun.
The next day, you're like, you know what? Lay back. Go ahead and lay out. And I've got things to say today, so go ahead and lay out. It'd be tough to do as me.
Let's do Brennan and Berkeley real quick. Ron Krojcik's about to join us on the Steph Curry injury. Hey, Brennan, what's up?
All this talk of role, and I know this is like the third rail for 95.7 The Game, but just reminded me of the 1980 documentary that was on Netflix, and it's somewhat current because of our gold medal winning hockey team. But there was an interview of the goalie on that documentary about his role, and he had just won the national championship, and he was all excited and thinking he was going to be the starting goalie, ended up just sitting on the bench the entire time. But he spoke a lot about just like knowing his role. And I wonder if a little bit of this discussion of knowing your role is maybe harder these days because of media, Instagram, Twitter, all of that, and so many guys wanting to be out in front. It was a curious correlation that when you guys were talking to it just made me think about it. And my last comment, I know hockey doesn't get much tread, but in that Olympics, if you missed Macklin Celebrini playing, you missed it. Go watch him for playing for the San Jose Sharks. He is something special, despite being a Canadian. But Yeah, he is a really amazing hockey player.
Brandon, thanks. He's incredible. And he's just getting started.
Yep.
He's such a wee little baby, too. Yep.
And I was trying to think about where he would rank among lefties in the Bay Area all time. So maybe we can kick that around. I mean,
well,
you've got
Barry,
Covey and Bum and Barry and
Steve
Macklin
Young.
And Steve Young and Mullen. I mean, you watch him play.
We got a lot of good lefties.
A lot of lefties.
No wonder this is such a blue state.
Mm.
There's lefties everywhere.
Yep.
All right. We're opening our knockout tournament window next. We're also sponsored by Kalshi, Trade on Anything. And Ron Krojcik of the Chronicle sat down with Steph Curry and came away with a less than optimistic feel about the knee. So we wanted to ask some questions. So Ron is going to join us next on Willard and Dibbs.
Pajamski holds it at midcourt, down to 2:45 time remaining. Right sideline to Melton. Melton with Cam Johnson on his hip finds a wide open Pajemski. The three ball's up and it's good. Pajemski nails another one.
Dub Nation, this is Brandon Pajemski. You're listening to Willer and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. And you can see us live on YouTube and Twitch right now. Just search 95.7 The Game and make sure to subscribe.
All right, thank you, Pods. Get one more assist next time and then everybody will be really excited about you. Speaking of excitement, 10 minutes from right now, we open the window for yet another opportunity to win your way in to knockout at Chase Center with all of us on April 6th. Every show, every day this week, again, 7:30, 12:30, 3:30 are the windows. 3:30 is in 10 minutes. We'll open the window, listen for your name.
And we're hot.
We're hot. Oh my God.
One in a row. Let's go.
How'd earlier today go? Morning show, starting to they get their winners?
They both got them.
Ooh.
Cash me out two times.
I think people are starting to get it. I think, good job, all you people out there. So listen for your name. It's coming up within the next 20, 30 minutes or so.
And our next guest, you would hope that he's not in the contest because he is a knockdown
shooter. He can shoot it.
No doubt.
He can swing a golf club, too.
Yes, he can.
SF Chronicle, Ron Krojcik, that's the man. And glad to have you here on Willard and Dibs and 95.7 The Game. Ron talked to Steph Curry at length last week, and he joins us now on the River Islands guest line. Hey, Ron, what's going on?
How are you guys doing?
We're doing fantastic. I'm interested. You speak to Steph, and it seemed like you came away with a less than confident feel, either from you, from him. How would you describe what you viewed in that discussion about his knee?
Yeah, I would say he was less upbeat than he typically is. I mean, he's an upbeat person, as you know. The conversation about the knee was not in great detail. I had time with him for another story for the future and slipped in a few questions about his knee at the end. So it was, fairly straightforward and brief, but he didn't try to put on a front or say, oh, it's great, it's getting better. I asked him, how's the knee? And his response was, it's feeling all right. So, as I wrote, I mean, it was sort of not as enthusiastic as Steph usually is. But I guess that's in some ways to be expected, right? He thought he had hoped to come back after the All-Star break, last Thursday against the Celtics, and his knee obviously was bothering him. And now it's been pushed back, 10 days from then. So another 6-7 days at least. So I think he's frustrated, as I wrote. And as he said, it's not gone. The recovery has not gone as quickly as he had hoped.
And how is his mood overall? Did you get a sense for, where he thinks they are or where he is as he, starts to wind down the end of his 30s?
Yeah, we didn't get into the big picture stuff. I think throughout most of the conversation, he was positive. He was upbeat, but it wasn't sort of specifically focused on his knee or where the team's going right now. I think he just, he loves to play and he's aggravated that he's been out as long as he has, because it's only been, 7 games, but it's been spread over almost a month. I think January 30th was when he went out, with the All-Star break in there. He's missed almost a month and only 7 games because the schedule was a little spread out and then they had the break. He made a point of saying that he still thinks there's time to get in the playoffs. And you know, the way the standings, he made a reference to the standings, you know, they're not going to fall below 10th, right? He didn't say this. This is me talking. But I think he knows they're going to have a shot, whether through the play-in, most likely through the play-in, to get a playoff spot. And he repeated a line that, you know, he and Draymond and Kerr have been using for a while now, that they just want to get in a playoff series and have a chance. You know, and as last year showed against the Rockets, in the playoff series, they have a pretty good track record. But the question is, if he misses an extended period of time, even more than next week, you know, then what happens? Because it's a tough road without Steph, as you guys know.
Ron Krojcik, SF Chronicle, with us here, Willard and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Yeah, Ron, I wonder if you come away in talking to him, is the concern sort of just about the frustration right now, or are there larger concerns? Are there long-term concerns?
About his knee?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think there's long-term concerns. I think he's just worried about, I don't think he was expecting it to take this long to heal. And I think it hurts still when he runs, and there's still swelling. And as I wrote in, the previous story I did off of, you know, Thursday when they got back to action, and I talked to a couple doctors, as you probably saw, and they all said there's a pretty wide variance. It you know, this condition, this patellofemoral syndrome or runner's knee, has a wide range of recovery times. It really depends on the specific athlete and how his or her knee responds and whether the pain lingers and the swelling lingers. And in Curry's case, it has, you know, for 3-4 weeks now. So it could, everything I was told, it could be fine very soon, or it could linger. As I pointed out in that earlier story, he's got a lot of miles on those legs. You know, I mean, pretty much nobody runs as much as Steph Curry in the NBA. So, you know, you got to think it's probably related to the accumulation of wear and tear on those knees. So we'll see.
How much of the frustration was stemming from the fact that, you know, they now have a guy 7 foot whatever in Porzingis, and, you know, he had one practice with him, and is he frustrated that he can't actually be out there and play with him in a real game?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's eager to do that, and as you saw in my story, I quoted Steph as saying that it's exciting because they haven't really had a 7-footer in Steph's 17 years who is that offensive-minded, was the way Steph put it. You know, Bogut, I guess, was 7 feet, but he wasn't looking to score. Bogut was a rebounder and a defender and a screener. Quinton Post now is a 7-footer with some outside shooting touch, obviously, but not nearly as established or proven or anywhere near, you know, Porzingis' level. And Horford is sort of an offensive-minded center, but he's 6'9". He's not 7 feet. So that's sort of Steph's point is, you know, that he was watching on TV that first game against the Celtics, and the Warriors dropped it into Porzingis, and immediately the Celtics double-teamed him. And that was Steph's point, was that creates all kinds of space and advantages elsewhere on the court, and the Warriors have never really had that. They've never had a 7-footer who is good enough offensively to force other teams to double-team like that. So I think Steph is frustrated that he's not able to be out there. I mean, Porzingis obviously is now out as well for the short term. But I think Steph's very eager to play with him, no question.
Ron, I wonder just kind of your thoughts. This all makes sense to you, which is that what a needle they are trying to thread, right? Steph is is injured. He's about to turn 38. Kristaps' injury history is what it is. Jimmy Butler's ACL is torn. And Draymond Green's role is evolving before our eyes. Yet the Warriors' stance is stay the course. Does that add up to you?
Well, I mean, this whole process the last few years has been fascinating and sort of threading the needle. But I mean, I think you and I, Mark, you might have even talked about it briefly. They're trying to sort of blend eras and generations, right? They're trying to squeeze everything they can out of Steph and Draymond and now Jimmy. And while they're trying to usher along the younger generation, there's a big gap there between the 35 and overs and the 25 and youngers. There's not much in between, right? There was with Wiggins and Looney, but they kind of moved on from those guys as a way, you know, that was what kind of cleared the way for Butler, which obviously helped. But yeah, to your point, this year has probably been pretty sobering for them because Steph's still playing at a very high level, obviously. Draymond is clearly diminishing in his production. So the margin for error is thinner than it's been in a long time. And when they were all out there, you know, before Jimmy got hurt, it seemed like they were finding a bit of a groove, 12 out of 16 and, you know, all that. But, you know, that's gone now. I mean, Jimmy's gone for a year. So, yeah, it's a big ask right now, I think. I mean, yesterday they obviously got a lot from those young guys with Pajemski in his big fourth quarter and Moses Moody. Moses Moody's been playing well lately, no question. But can they get that from Moody and Pajemski and the young guys all the time? You know, I think Melton has proven he's a reliable producer and scorer. But, you know, it's been up and down with the young guys. So, yeah, to your point, Mark, it is a delicate needle to thread, no question.
Do you think that it's fool's gold that they're pot committed on exactly what they're trying to do?
Well, I mean, how do you not try to extend their championship window when you have one of the best players ever, right? Instead, I mean, what? I don't buy the people who say, oh, they should trade Steph or, you know, I mean, he's 37 years old and he's still scoring 27, 28 a game. He's still the most entertaining player in the league. He just won a championship, you know, a few years ago. I mean, I think they're in a tough spot. I mean, I think they might have to move on from Draymond, which I think they've kind of made evident by their willingness to include him in a potential Giannis trade, which obviously didn't materialize, but it's pretty well established that to get Giannis, they would have had to include Draymond in his salary. So that's going to be one of the many interesting things this summer is, do they stick with Draymond or do they move on from him? And obviously Steph's going to, I assume, give his blessing either way. I mean, Steph's always said he wants to finish with Draymond, but maybe, I don't know, this didn't come up in my conversation with him. Maybe he's starting to realize that's not feasible. I don't know. But they clearly need to do something significant this summer, and these moves they made at the deadline set them up for that, right? They could bring Porzingis back if they like him, but they could also let his contract expire and try to find another solution. But they clearly need something to get them from October to February next year while Jimmy's finishing his recovery.
Ron, you be very careful with that whole including Draymond in trade discussions things. I don't want Mike Dunleavy knocking on your door now, okay?
He's got my number. You can find me.
Okay.
I mean, it's, you know, that. I mean, that was probably a case of semantics, right?
No doubt.
Like they didn't specifically, like, send them an email with the names of the players. But, I mean, we're not dumb. We can figure out the salaries to match Giannis.
Yeah.
It was going to have to be Jimmy or Draymond. And I don't think, from everything I know and have heard, they've committed to Jimmy because they saw how much better the team got since Jimmy arrived. And who could blame them for that opinion? So, I don't know. Draymond's still been very good in certain games. It hasn't been as steady as it used to be, obviously.
Yeah, no, it's implied. I think we all agree. Ron, thank you very much. Good work for sure, and great to hear a little bit more about it. Appreciate you.
Thanks for the time. Appreciate it, guys.
Okay, there he goes. Ron Krejcik, yep. SF Chronicle, talked to Steph Curry. Before we react to that, it is 3:32, which means...
Yeah?
The window
is
open.
Wide open.
Thank you, Creed.
Thank you.
All right.
Yep.
So we got another spot to the knockout tournament, which is about to be available, provided that you've registered at 957thegame.com. If you haven't, by the way, you should go do that right now. Because
a loser.
Thank you.
Automatic loser. If you didn't register, well, you've already lost.
No, you've already lost today. But you haven't lost tomorrow,
right.
And Wednesday.
Nope, you're right.
Thursday,
yep.
And Friday, and who knows?
Just go register.
Yeah, go register at 957thegate.com. But that's not what we're talking about right now.
No.
If you have registered, then listen for your name sometime over the next 30 minutes. And if you hear us call your name, that means the clock starts then. And you've got 9 minutes and 57 seconds to call our contest line, which I'll say real quick right now, just so that you can file it away, 415-523-4652. That'll be the number to call if you hear your name, and then the clock starts 9 minutes 57 seconds. So the window is open, so just keep listening for a name that is coming relatively soon.
Right. And I'll read the name, and then that person will hear the name, and they will call in, because that's how we do it here on Willie and Dibby.
That's right. Now, do you have the name?
No.
Okay, let me text it to you.
Okay. Go ahead and text me.
Yeah, because...
I mean, and the city, too. That way I can make sure that...
Yeah, well, I'm not new. I know.
I know you are. I mean, you've been here now for 4.5 years, and you're... I mean, man, you're north of 50, so you've been doing this for quite a long time, and, you know... On Friday, I walked over and you gave me the name. And then by the time I walked back over, I had already forgotten. So you had to text me.
It's just like meeting someone at a party.
Dude, the worst.
I hate that.
I love the young people.
You know what, Randy?
Or it's like when an... stop. This is not an old person thing.
Oh, I'm bad with names, too.
Yeah, this is like you could be 20.
I'll forget 5 seconds after they tell me.
Talk to me. Like, who went to a college party and would like at the end, you're like, yeah, that's Billy.
Yep.
And that's Rachel. No, I don't know who they... I don't know. It's just like when they, like, you know, the new salespeople here at Odyssey. We got a few new salespeople.
Yeah.
And the first thing I want to say to them is, A, nice to meet you. B, I'll have your name down by 2027.
It's about right.
I need at least 6 months to really let it sink in.
Yeah.
Okay?
The best way is to say that...
It's just the real.
You say the person's name 3 times right away, and that gives you a great chance to remember. Todd, Todd, Todd. I mean,
but not 100% chance.
No,
at all.
Oh. I went to a Purim festival yesterday.
I'm sorry,
Purim, which
Purim
at the temple in Lafayette, and you know, apparently,
stop smiling,
Queen
Randy.
Esther. This is pornography. It wasn't a porn festival. It was Purim. This could not have been further from that. Like, you can't go.
Did you bring your wife with you? Crazy, dog.
It was at a Jewish temple with like...
Oh my God, young, what is going on at this temple?
Children in a bounce house, yeah.
Oh,
bouncing.
Now this is just illegal.
Anyway.
What is going on here?
I'm trying to tell you, but you, Granny, for once, were the one who dragged it in the mud.
Willard's mind went there first.
Okay.
Let their record state.
Fair enough.
My mind went where I thought I heard.
He's Jewish, so he should know about Queen Esther.
I've gone over this. I'm sort of Jewish.
So am I. I'm Jewish. Also Jewish.
I'm Jewish, but I'm not comfortable claiming it because I didn't do anything.
Long story short,
I didn't go to temple. I didn't do a bar mitzvah.
I went to temple yesterday. It was Purim
festival.
Whatever. There were name tags. That was the point of the story.
Wow.
There were name tags.
I bet they weren't their real names.
Well, actually, I saw another guy named Dan. And I said, "Great name, Dan."
Yeah.
And he looked at me, and then he's like, "What?" And then he looked at my name tag, and then he looked back at me. He's like, "Oh, okay." I'm like, oh my God.
So it was a Dan day.
It was a double Dan day.
Oh, God.
Double D's. It was Purim.
Wow.
I wanted to be a part of the bit.
Jeez.
Anyway, name tags. I'll read the name pretty soon, and then you'll call in, and I'll see you at Chase Center. And by the way, for all of you out there, and this is from Joe Lacob to me, to you, it is not the Chase Center. It's Chase Center.
You spoke to Joe Lacob?
No, but I know that he is passionate about that.
Oh.
It's not the Chase Center.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That doesn't work.
And it's not the 101. You're driving on 101.
Well, that depends on where you live. But that's also...
You get south of San Luis Obispo.
And then it's the.
Correct.
Yeah, that's how
Once you come down that last little thing and you see the ocean.
I went to Cal Poly, and that's how we knew where people were from. Do you put a the in front of the freeway or
right.
not? But
it's
that's
Chase Center.
I know, but that's not how it'll work. It's like I... Worked in L.A. for years.
Right.
The Staples Center. It's not, but... And now it's not. Now they changed the name again.
Crypto!
Right, whatever the hell they want to call it.
Sure.
But nobody, it's not Staples Center. It's the Staples Center. And the reason people put a "the" in there is because it's a thing. It's a thing. It's like a place that we're going to go. So you're like, that the thing. I know what he wants. He wants that, like, the corporate sponsor is not called the Chase.
Right.
So he wants it to just be called Chase Center.
Yeah, but that's what it's called.
That's not how it works, though. Let's imagine that if Chase wasn't the sponsor and there was no sponsor. Nobody would be like, we're going to watch the Warriors at Center tonight.
When you were a kid.
They would say, we're going to the Center.
When you were a kid and you went and watched the Giants play baseball.
Yes.
Where'd you watch them?
The Stick.
Candlestick Park is where you went.
The Stick.
But the Stick is a colloquialism.
Which is what this
nickname.
Is. Yes.
No, this is you putting "the" in front of the actual
name. I just.
If you want to call it the CC.
I just
CC,
blew up your point. You wanted me to say Candlestick Park.
That's where
I went. I went to the Stick.
No, the correct answer is you went to Monster Park at Candlestick Point.
Whatever they called it.
At Three Cop Point. Anyway.
Hey, Guy Santos is going to join us in like 7 minutes.
The Guy Santos.
You can do that. I'm fine with it.
Bay Area. It's Guy Santos here. Okay. Hey, Dibs. You're a big sting.
You're a big sting.
Okay. First of all, Guy, I had a good year.
Yeah.
And now I'm way above 500 for my career.
You had an okay year. It was fine.
To be fair, he recorded that last year.
Yeah.
So he wasn't wrong.
He is now.
I just hold on to these things.
Yeah,
you know?
You can't hold people's words against them from years ago.
So you hold on to things?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, boy.
You want to talk
about holding on to things?
I'm going to hold on to this. Can I just read a text that we just got to you?
Oh, God. From?
No, it's to you and me. From Matt Steinmetz.
Oh, boy.
Listen.
The Matt Steinmetz.
Okay. This is great, but I do want to... I don't want to be a jerk. I want to be.
Willard's bugging me.
That's fine. I'm not here to fluff your pillows. I just.
Whoa.
Listen.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be grateful and thankful, but there's two problems with this text message. And I just. It's fine, but I want to ask questions. I'm an interviewer. This is what I do. He said. We've secured a reservation, mouths. Now pick a date.
What?
Okay. And then he adds on, and don't worry about where, just do the rest of the show. First of all, stop complimenting yourself. We're not going to stop the show. We're not going to, like, fine. Wherever your reservation is, fine. But I have Open Table. I have an account with Open Table. You can't make a reservation if you don't already have a date. You can't just be like, I want a party of five. When? Whenever.
Yep.
Like, what does
when
that
we
mean?
Show up.
We've secured a reservation. Pick a date. I don't even know what that means. And then secondly, stop with the whole mouths thing. You lost the bet.
Mm.
Don't be like acting like we're jerks because we want to get paid off. You're the ones that got all mouthy, snappy, snappy about how good the Chiefs were going to be. You did that. You asked for the bet.
I got a big ass
and lost. Mm. Not us.
Yep.
Mouth.
I mean, how can you have a reservation if there is no...
There's no date.
Right. You know what that is? You know what it's called?
What?
It's called a drive-through.
So drive by.
We've made a reservation at a place where you get in your car and you get to just drive in.
Yeah. Oh, read the name.
What name?
The name.
For
Knockout.
Okay. No buildup, no read, no number.
No, I got the read. Just do the name.
Chris Kottke from Dublin. Chris Kottke. KOTTKE. Chris Kottke. From Dublin, you are on the clock. Clock, clock, clock. Chris Kottke from Dublin. Okay, make it happen.
Okay, and the clock has already begun. 9 minutes, 57 seconds. Please call the contest line, 415-523-4652. 415-523-4652. If you are Chris Kottke from Dublin, and if you're not, but you know Chris, text him, call him, shake him, get him. Go into his office, interrupt the meeting, whatever. Get him to call in. 9 minutes, 57 seconds. Your chance to join us at Knockout. And everybody else, remember, we're doing this every show all week long. 7:30, 12:30, 3:30. Those are the window openers. Make sure you're registered. at 957thegame.com. And Guy Santos is going to join us next. Guy, live on Willard and Dibbs.
Spencer runs into traffic, feeds Santos. He takes a three. That's good. Guy Santos from downtown. And now four of the five starters for the Warriors are in double figures to lead back to 10.
Bay Area, it's Guy Santos here. You're listening to Wheeler and Dibs on 957 The Game.
Let me see. Hang on. Let me read these. 17. 17.
Yeah.
And then there was a 9.
Ah, man.
16.
Okay.
15. 18. 13. 16.
Are those the
16,
ages of your children?
11, no, those are the point totals for Guy Santos.
Guy Santos? That's a lot of points.
Dude, just gets out of bed and gives you 15, 16, 17 points.
Call him Teen Santos. Ooh. 17, 16, 18.
All right. For the second time in a few weeks, kind enough to join Willard and Dibbs here on 95.7 The Game. And he joins us now live on the River Islands guest line. We will let you know real quick that Chris Kotke of Dublin, bang.
Cha-ching.
Kaboom. He called in. So you continue to be hot. And yep. Chris, thank you for listening. We'll see you at Knockout on the Chase Center floor, where we often see Guy Santos play basketball. Hi, Guy. How you doing today?
What up? How you guys doing?
What's good? Yeah. How was the flight over there?
That was good. Pretty smooth. We just got here. Just chilling a little bit, you know, for get ready for tomorrow.
Can you tell us what the Warrior flight is like? Like, what do you eat? What do y'all do?
Oh, man. So, yesterday after the game, right, we gotta lift a little bit, you know, make sure that you stay at the top of our, you know, our body. Then we got to do all the things that we need to do to feel better the next day. Then today we travel in the morning. So they have all the, you know, the kitchen, everybody from the kitchen is at the airport. So they have like breakfast ready for us and everything that we need to get in the flight. Then we get in the flight, pretty smooth flight, and just, you know, land here, get a bus, get to the hotel, and just wait for tomorrow.
Is it assigned seats? Is it first come, first serve? Is there a certain amount of like, is there a pecking order or rules? What's it like on that flight?
No, so there is some great seats, you know, because we all like tall. So all the seats are very nice. And also, you know, we know most part of the young fellas sit in the front of the plane. The veterans, they sit a little bit more back to the plane. So that's the kind of one thing that we have in there.
You probably haven't had a flight with Kristaps yet, have you?
Yes, we did. The first, where we were at, I think that was for two games, we had Kristaps in the flight with us.
Right, before he was playing, he was flying with you. So, because yeah. You were talking about how tall y'all are, but nobody's that tall. So where does he sit?
He sits in like in a seat that doesn't have the table, you know, so he get more leg room. So that's gonna be good for him.
I mean, it's incredible, and I guess at your height, because you're what 6'7" or 6'8", and it's got to be like one of the worst times in your life to be that tall, right, on a plane.
Oh yes. This plane is not a problem, you know. It's a great plane for us. But when you go in a commercial flight and you don't go in the first class and you gotta go in the back, you know, that's especially for me because I travel a lot because, you know, my hometown is Brazil, so I gotta be in the flight for almost 20 hours.
Ooh.
So yeah, if you don't get a comfort seat, you're in trouble.
I get it. Guy Santos is with us here on Willard and Dibs. We do have some basketball questions we'd love to throw at you. Super appreciative that you're coming on today. I think a lot of Warrior fans are wondering about how things change as a group when you don't have any of your big name players out there and there isn't that pecking order thing. And you guys have talked about how much the ball moves, and it really looked like that yesterday. What's the difference in your strategic approach when you know there's not going to be a Steph or a Jimmy Butler or a Porzingis in the game?
So we know that for us to win games, start especially on defense, we got to be very, very tied up in like what we're going to do on defense. So we start on that on defense, but offensively, you know, when you don't have Steph, when you don't have Jimmy, you know, Porzingis, guys that are going to have the ball more in their hands, you just got to move the ball. You got to make the ball run for us. So that's one thing that we have in mind. And somebody got to create the first, you know, the first, make the first domino fall. And everybody just keep moving the ball, keep driving, keeping taking the best shots. And I feel like we've been doing that very, very good. I think last game we had a lot of assists, you know, one of the most assists, like games in the season. So that was one of the biggest reasons because we didn't stop to move the ball. Everybody was playing and running for each other. And that was what make us really, really play, I think, one of the best basketball games of our season right now without Steph, Draymond, Jimmy, and Porzingis, you know.
Yeah, it was awesome yesterday to watch. And, you know, as a fan, I kind of kept waiting for the bottom to drop out, but you fell behind and you guys bounced back. And how much of that do you think was because you went out there and you played so fast against a Denver team that's a little bit older and they had played a lot of games lately?
Exactly, exactly. So we kind of lost the control of the game in the third quarter. We stopped making shots, you know, we stopped making what we were doing the whole first half. But then we stayed together. The whole team stayed together. And we knew it. We in the bench, when we had a timeout, we knew it. They're going to have a run. So we said, okay, they have the run. Now we got to get back to the game, keep playing like we were playing, and that's a process. You know, if we keep playing like we're playing right now, the shot's going to fall again, and that's going to make us come back in the game. And that happens in the fourth quarter, especially, you know, with BP showing up for big time like he did last night.
Gee, I want to talk to you about just, and it's not so much about your numbers, but it's a little bit more about how this is just all feeling for you. I'm looking at, and this covers almost exactly a month, I'm looking at 11 games now, straight games where you're scoring, where you've had 20 or more minutes. I'm also looking at, for instance, just the month of February. You're shooting 57%. You're shooting over 45% from three. This has got to be the most consistent play that you've had as an NBA player, I would imagine, and I wonder how it's kind of changed life for you.
Oh man, that's I'm not gonna lie to you, I'm feeling really good right now about the shooting, you know, the confidence. But I think especially when you know that you're gonna play every night, when you know that like your team trusts you, the staff trusts you, that gives you way more confidence to go out there and, you know, like you take shots with confidence. You take shots that you think like, yes, this shot is one of the shots that I gotta shoot and I'm gonna make it. And I feel good right now. I'm in this position. You know, like all the team trusts me. You know, the coaches, they always keep telling me to be aggressive, to keep like driving to the paint and kick the ball out and make the right play all the time. And that's where the confidence came from. You know.
And the confidence keeps growing, especially games like yesterday where, I mean, you mentioned it, no Steph and all the rest of them were out. And so now you go on a quick little back-to-back road trip. How much does yesterday help you and all the other guys go into tomorrow and on Wednesday to feel even more confident?
We played a great team yesterday, and we knew it. That's, you know, one of the best teams right now. So we here right now in New Orleans, and after we play Memphis back to back. But yesterday was a great example for us to how we gotta play. And you know, there is days that we're gonna make a lot of shots early in the game like we did, and there is games that we're not gonna make that much shots. But just for us to keep playing the same way that we play, you know, everybody running for each other, everybody sprinting back for defense. Is sprinting into the offense and just giving 100% of your 100% all the time. That's gonna make us. That's gonna put us in a great position to win against every team. You know, because what really matter is yesterday we kept the game just like even. You know, like we didn't let them go 20 points over us. We didn't go 20 points against them, but by the end of the game, the game was basically tied, and we had BP showing up, you know, and just playing like he was playing. So that's the goal for us for these two games, too.
Guy Santos is with us here on Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Guy, I'll tell you this. I think for fans, it's really fun to see a star the size of Steph Curry be as into the game as he is on the bench over there, even though he's not playing. And I wonder what that's like for you guys. What is he saying to you on the bench, and what does he talk you through, and what do you draw from that?
Man, just to have Steph on his side is great because, you know, over everything, he's like, for a lot of us are way younger than him. We grow up watching him playing, and you have a guy like him that he was four-time NBA champion already. A lot of NBA All-Stars appearance. He was champion. He was two times MVP. You know, all that. And you have him right there with you, just cheering for you and just talking to you, giving you some advice for some type of like plays on offense or defense. Yesterday he had like, I think I saw BP saying in the media that he was talking to BP to be, you know, to like take the shots with confidence and be aggressive. And when you have a guy like him, a guy that made all he does right there, cheering for you and, you know, just supporting the team, it's great. Something great going to happen because of that. So it's always good to have a guy like Steph on the side for supporting us in these games.
Love that. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, and the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries. Always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.